You want to know what does it what pleases God. And when you start pleasing the Lord, you're going to find a wide open field out there. Don't think because you do some consecration, you got to tell all the church to do it. You just do it yourself. I've seen people in the church, they felt like we ought to pray and fast because they felt like it. So they want everybody to do it. They didn't want to hurt by themselves. They want everybody else to be hungry. But let me tell you what, when you do it because you and God want to do it, it's different than anybody making me do it. I want to put this inside of you where you can enjoy it. Not only that, I want you to enjoy your families. That's number two, what we're going to try to find out. You can enjoy your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your children, and all of that. We need to realize knowing Jesus Christ is the most balanced life that you can have in this world now. The world's upside down already. We're trying to get it upside down, right side up. And you can't change everybody out here. I'm not carrying placards for the politicians. I'm not out here drumming up things for this or that or the other. If you preach Jesus, he's got the highest standard than the government ever did think about. In fact, they've been an embarrassment to the American people, and for the people that are Christians, they have embarrassed us more than once. So I'm not looking to the government. I'm looking to Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay, get a binder. Get some notepaper. Get a little notepad. It's some kind of something you can carry with you. Because when you're on the job, you're in school, you may get a thought. You may get an idea. You may get a scripture. Just jot it down. When I first went to Napa, I had to work because I didn't have a church. So we were building it. And I'd always have a little note and a pencil. And while I'm working on the job, a thought would come to me. Just jot it down. I can't stop and go and do more than just jot it down. But when I got home, went to studying, the inspiration of that thing began to grow and develop. I found out that I could preach just as well when I worked and when I didn't work, when I had to. But I knew that if I kept it up, that would be my second love, and I didn't want a second love. I wanted a first love. And so I quit working, and I didn't have enough to really live on completely, but God helped me to find a way we did it. I'm just trying to get across to you. There's something about when you have to do something for a cause, it gets to an end, you better quit it. I saw some ministers that did the same thing. They didn't quit, and they finally lost out. You can't give yourself the two masters, and so that's why I turned this way. So when I start to talk to this, everybody got your copies now? Are they all passed out? Okay, we're in class now. Now you think, oh, I'm in church. No, I don't want you to relax. You're going to study algebra and geometry. What do you do with that? In geometry, we had to have a reason for every line we drew. We had definitions galore. I never did get any higher than geometry. Now they got higher math, trigonometry, and all that stuff. But God gave you brains to do that with when you come in the world. But I didn't have that. I didn't want to be doing that. Found out if I studied like I studied in school with some hard lesson and put my mind to it and not depend on how good I felt, but get inspired with what I'm doing, that it changes the whole picture. If you'd like to do what you're doing, it's not work, it's joy. But if you don't like what you're doing, you're going to be tired, weary. Amen? This hand is amen. This man's praise the Lord. Let's do it. Hallelujah, you're catching on. I like to know you're responding. I know you're awake when you do that. The next thing is, we don't have tests. And now you won't study. Why did you study in school? A test. That's why I enjoyed teaching at Bible school for a while, because there's going to be a test. I had one student there. He said, oh, I don't need to take a test. Yeah, and I witnessed his life too. He never made it in the ministry. He still hasn't made it because he doesn't take notes. Got it all up here. Empty as a gourd. You have to make yourself be disciplined if you're going to learn. The first step in learning is be interested. If I can't stir your interest, I can't teach you anything. But if I can inspire your interest and your curiosity, you're going to get inquisitive to know. In the old days, back years and years ago, they'd tell me you were not known by the school, you was known by the teacher. Paul said, I sit at the feet of Gamaliel. So you see, it was a different kind of schooling situation. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'm at his feet, friend. I'm here to learn of him, to know him, and I want you to know him. I'm going to give you a little background to this and tell you why. I don't like to hurry through this. So if I take a little time, don't try to get nervous. We're not on a time schedule of learning about Jesus. Before we read these three verses in here that I have, I need to give you a background of why I'm here in my walk with God and learning of him, and tell you a little bit about that helped to help you to see that everybody can have it. For one thing, I've been raised as a child with praying parents. We didn't have a church until I was 18. But my mom and dad was a praying people. They received the Holy Ghost from a man that had received the Holy Ghost 3 weeks. He came over and preached on my grandmother's front porch in Mississippi. And she was a widow woman with 5 or 6 kids. And from that front porch, he preached this message of the new birth, one God, the coming of the Lord. That was his three thoughts. And he had the people of the little town, about 3,000. He'd have at least 1,000 out there standing up in the grove of trees from her front porch when he preached. If we had that, we'd go bonkers. Oh, he stirred up that town. 55 got the Holy Ghost. My mother and my grandmother was in that group. And then in those days, this man was brand new to the message. And he only felt the burden to come and tell the new people. And he left. And we had no pastor, no church, no nothing. In those days, if you come out of Methodist, Baptist, or Presbyterian, they kicked you out and you couldn't come back. So he had a revival, and here's the folks got the Holy Ghost, a brand new thing, and they were persecuted in the area, and now they can't even go back to the other church. Mom and Dad survived it. Many did not. At 18, when God dealt with my heart in a way that I really made my consecration, it was there and then that I changed my life. And I had a pastor, only had one. His name was Brother Earl Toole. Brother Winford Toole, that was in our district, was our secretary for a while. That was his son. But his father was my only pastor I ever had, and I loved him. He saved me. I don't know what I'd done if I didn't have him. I was at that crucial age of 18. I was going over Fool's Hill, and I didn't know what to do about it. And I was acting like a fool. Mom and Dad's praying for me that I'd make it over the hill and somehow get my head straight. But God spoke to me. I was on the outside in a car. I tell this over and over again. Paul told his, I'll tell mine. He said, I was out there asleep. I've worked, got late, and got in the car. They was having a Wednesday night prayer meeting Bible study. I didn't hear a thing that they did in there. But as they went to dismiss, there was a spirit of intercessory prayer that come over them. How many know what intercessory prayer is? And some of our young people probably don't know. There's different ways of praying. Teach us to pray, Lord. There's different ways of praying. But intercessory prayer is a prayer you're praying for others as though you were them. You're putting yourself in their stead, and you're pleading for mercy to save them. Well, there was an intercessor. They didn't know what they were praying for. Just a move of the Spirit in the service. The Lord spoke to me as clear as I've ever heard him. He said, either you get in or you get out. He wasn't playing around with me, because I had been around the church enough to know that I was lost like I was, and I'd go to the altar and pray off my feeling and my conviction, pray that God wouldn't kill me before I got right, but I wasn't ready to get right. You know, you prayed with God for a while. He said, that's enough. But when he said that, speaking in my heart, there was a fear of God that came over me that was different than any fear I've ever had as a human being. I'm fearful of, I'm afraid of high places. I'm afraid of people that are angry and wars and with all kind of fears. But this was a different kind of fear, friend. I want you to know when you get the fear of God, it touches every corpuscle in your body. It touches your mind. It touches your emotions. And it leaves a mark on you. And from that day to this, I couldn't go back. I saw my relatives go backslide. It never fazed me. I've been in the ministry for these years. I've seen some of them go back. It never fazed me. I always remember, I don't want to go back to my guilty place as I was in the past. And God help me. Jesus, keep me safe. I don't want to go back into that old world that I come out of, and I didn't know much about the world. My mom and dad wouldn't let me know. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus did something to make me want to know Him better from the very beginning. You don't have just big revelations, and I didn't see any stars, I didn't see any lights, I didn't see all that. I just heard His voice. And then I didn't hear that voice very often, but I began to learn that if you want to hear what God says and thinks, He tells you what He thinks, what He hears, what He knows, and what He wants you to be right out of the book. And except, He told the man in hell, He said, except you'll hear Moses and the law, which means here's the book. That's all he had in those days. But he'd say to us, here's the book. According to the record of the book, you're going to be judged by this. If you want to know what's right and wrong, here it is. If you want what the Lord likes and He was pleased with, here it is. And I had to get in love with the Word to learn to know Him. You see, man failed in the garden by not obeying the Word. And you can't come back to God till you start obeying the Word where you went out. You hear what I said on that thing? I want you to see that. We, our parents, our forefathers, as it were, Adam and Eve, they went out by disobeying the Word. And you can't come back in until you obey the Word. Think about it. You got to obey the book, the Word. And you've got to learn to obey this book. The thing I began to really notice, number one, was the fact that He encouraged me by reading the Scriptures to observe all things that is written therein. Not just some of it, but all of it. It changed my way of looking at it. We get used to hearing the preacher preach and let him tell us what it is. Look, the Bible said, Jesus said, you should search the Scriptures. You should search the Scriptures. You may think you have it, but you may not have it. He said, you search the Scripture. I want you to realize that we're going to get acquainted with the record of the book. Amen. I'm not asking you to read 20 chapters a week. That's fine, but that's not the best way. You need to read that to get an overall view. But really the best way, when you get down to it, is take the verse and do whatever it says. You've got to read with a doing in your mind. It won't work until you start doing it. Don't wait till you feel like it. Don't wait until you think that, you know, it's going to be easier. No. Do it. Don't tell me try. Try never does it. Do it. Let's all say, do it. That's what you have to do. Don't question it. Don't make a big deal out of it. If He says, love your enemy, love them. If you don't have an enemy, He'll give you one. That's right. He's going to teach you how to love an enemy. You got to get one. Sometimes you ought to thank God for an enemy. He may tell you some things about you that nobody else will tell you. And He may be right. So you want to, if you want to know Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that you're going to get a revelation of who you are and what's in you. All these young people said, I'm trying to find myself. Buddy, when you ever find yourself, you'll still be lost. A lost man can't find himself. you gotta get somebody to come back where you are and pull you out of them woods. Amen. These kids that went on back in the 60s went on this journey, whatever they called it, and they had a big deal about, you know, yoga and all those Eastern religions and so on. And they're all trying to find something out here. I'll come to the L.A. airport one time, and when I was going to be leaving to go out, and a plane just come in, and there was a whole bunch of those flower people there, young people. They wasn't embarrassed how they looked, how they acted. And off of the plane came a, must have been an Indian man with a long beard and a long robe. And those kids, college-age kids, smart-looking kids, did the dumbest thing I ever saw. They bowed to him. He just reached over and touched them and smiled and kept going. Just to have him to touch them. I thought, you go to college, but you don't have no sense. If you got any sense at all, it's not a man that you worship. You worship the mighty God. And if you're going to find yourself, you're going to find yourself in the book. And when you find yourself in the book, it's going to be a remedy for it. Because God didn't reveal it to just to condemn you. He wants to save you from that. Now, what I like about knowing about him, I found out. He doesn't want me lost. Now, I may do things he doesn't want me to do. But he's not going to give up on me. He's going to keep working on me. Because he wants me to be saved. I had an uncle that backslid for 40 years. He got offended at the pastor 40 years before. I don't recall if I ever saw him in the 40 years, maybe once at a funeral. But for 40 years, he was backslid. He come through my town, never called me. I don't know why he's upset at me. I had nothing to do with it. But he raised his family in a backslidden condition. And one day when I was at home, and to my surprise, a phone rang, and I picked up the receiver and said, hello. And he said, hello. You may not know who this is, but I think I recognize this voice. He said, this is Watson. I said, well, man, Watson, I haven't seen you for years. How you doing? He said, well, I want to call and tell you. I'm in a hospital with cancer, and I thought God would never hear me again. But I prayed through, and God did touch me and renewed my walk with God, and I'm happy that I can be able to say I prayed through. I was thrilled with that because he's getting up in the years. Now he has cancer. A few days later, he called me back, and he was rejoicing over what he said. I haven't felt God. I just didn't feel God. You see, we lean on feelings a whole lot. The Bible said, you know, if you'll repent, I can forgive. But as long as you hold that bitterness and grudge in your heart, you're going to find out you're going to live in the darkened world of bitterness. And that's the way he lived. Lo and behold, I said, well, boy, I'm so happy, and we rejoiced about it. But in a few days, he called back, and he was sad. I said, what's wrong? What's happened? He said, I got to thinking, I raised my kids and my grandkids, and they don't know this. You talk about a regret. That man had a regret. As time went on, he went to every one of his grandkids and his children. He had four boys. Not one would listen to him. And he said, I lost my family while I was out, and I can't get them back in. I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of side roads, but you better stay on the freeway. There's a lot of off-ramps, but I want you to tell you what. If you're going to get to the city, you better stay on the highway. Let's praise the Lord. We need you, Jesus. I love you for it, Lord. You're great. You're our God. You're our Redeemer. I love you. I worship you. Praise the Lord. When I think of this, you young people that have moms and dad that serve God, you're privileged. Don't give them a hard time. Be humble enough to be obedient in your house. Reason with your parents. And if you have a problem you can't solve, talk to your pastor about it. You got some good people around this place. I enjoy working with Brother Marin. And he's got a buddy up north, Brother Limonis. And I like these two guys. They're hungry. And Brother Limonis, I tell you what, I got him branded. He's preaching like me now. When I hear my preaching coming back, I know they got the message. He's preaching on Jesus. I'm telling you, friend, this is the biggest eye-opener I've ever had in my life. You may not know it, you may not recognize it, but I'm telling you, when you ever get your eyes on Jesus, it's going to be a different flesh, different world, different everything about you. It's better than when I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! There's no God like our God. And I'm not going to settle for just a little bit of a glimpse. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. And He's invited for us to do that. But what brought me to this, I have to give you that background and I can go from there. I've been in the ministry for some years. I don't know. Probably 40. And I got tired of just having good service and no change. You understand what I mean? I don't mean I got tired of God and the church, per se, but I didn't have the change. And I got hungry. And at that time, it's probably 10, 11 years ago, I'd wake up early in the morning. It was kind of new to me. I was getting older, you can see. And I got up early, rested, and I didn't feel tired or anything. It could be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd go in the kitchen area to walk and pray and worship because I kept telling the Lord, I got to know You. I know UPC, I know camp meetings, and I know churches, and I know Christians. But Jesus, I want to know You now. Something in me began to cry out. I can't substitute anything we're doing for You. I've got to find out how to know You. And I cried out to Him night after night. I wasn't discouraged. I wasn't upset. I wasn't pressured. I just felt good doing it. I can't explain it to you. Some folks always put a big heavy burden on you. And I was crying. No, I was rejoicing. I felt good every time I said, I love You, but I don't know You well enough. You got to come close. Make it plain, Jesus. I can't understand some things. You got to make it clear, Lord. Me, I don't know. I'm just a human. You're God. Help me. I got to find You. I just kept that up. It drove me to that. Even right now, I feel it. You know, you got to realize that you're not just another church, another building, another group of people. You've got a living God here. You've got the Almighty God. You've got the only God. His name is Jesus. And He's worthy of your worship and your praise. And He's worth knowing. And I looked in the Scriptures and began to see some things. There's people that was with Him but didn't know Him. He said, I'm with you, disciples, now, but there's going to come a time I'm going to be in you. We're living in that day. We're this side of Calvary. He lives in here. He walks in here. He talks in here. Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days to get through to the glory world. He's right here. You may be tested, but he's not off in the high yonder. He's living in my spirit and my soul. You don't have to worry about Him leaving. He's there. He's just, remember, He's close. You say, I can't feel God. You don't go by what you feel. You go by what you know. I feel like that this roof is going to be safe to be in here. The reason I am safe, I've got a knowledge that was built on a good foundation. Past inspection. Now you don't even think about it. If God shakes you like he shook us the other day, we start thinking about how good it is. Because every earthquake reveals a foundation. It reveals the building. And if this thing goes a shaking, them lamps are coming down, everybody will make a door. Don't you worry. We're going to get out of here. Because you no, because of what I know. I know if I stay here, it'll kill me. You just get up and get out. Get going. If you can't find a door, you just make one. Better. Because you know something. If you know him, it doesn't have to be an inspiration to get you to do it. You know what he said and you start doing it. And in my search, and it was a blessed time, I looked forward to it. It was not a dreary time at all. There come a time that I began to tell him, I wanted him to feel how bad I wanted him. And I said, Jesus, I'm tired of church. I'm tired of camp meetings. I'm tired of all these meetings. And I'm in them all the time. If going to church saves you, I got it made. But Jesus, that doesn't take the place of me knowing you. Now, I repeat it again so you don't misunderstand it. It wasn't the services. It was me. I enjoyed, but it didn't change. Am I connecting? I hope I am. Say something. If you don't, raise your hand. We're just teaching. You can raise your hand and we'll answer questions. Because I don't like to feel like I'm just poking out a lot of information to fill your brain. I want to get the Word of God and get Jesus in your spirit and in your heart, in your thoughts and in your mind to where you're going to live different than you ever lived. I don't mean you're not living good right now. But look, if eternity is without end and you'll still be learning, don't you think we can learn a little more now? That's what I'm after. And so I began to press him. There's nothing I want besides you, Jesus. This is my heart's cry, is I have to know you. And then I tell this every time I go to teaching this. If you heard it before, you're hearing it again. What brought me to it is one morning when I was just enjoying it, I paused and stood a while, and he spoke inside of me again. He said, if you want to get close to me, you have to learn how to handle rejection. And I tell you what, I never thought about that. But immediately when he said it, I was at this position. I raised my head and poked my finger in the sky, and I said, Jesus, how did you do it? He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I said, Jesus, when I get there, please help me to do it like you did it. And I mean it, friend. I want to do it just like he did it. I tell you what, I had an experience with that. And God helped me and it worked. I'm trying to get across to you. If you're going to really know him, you've got to be able to overcome criticism. You got to overcome peer pressure. You got to overcome people that's going to make light of it. The lukewarm, the half-hearted, the indifferent, the don't cares. You've got to get away from being feeling of they're rejecting me. Hey, I want you to know something. I want him to accept me. And if they reject me, I've got to learn how to handle that. Are we okay? Amen. Good. I want to know you're getting it. Because Jesus was despised and rejected. And if you're going to learn how to know him, you're going to taste some of the spit, some of the dirt, some of the dust, some of the stench of a Calvary experience going up to Calvary. When you get close to him, it isn't always going to be sweet, sweet, sweet. There'll be some suffering in it. And I'm telling you right now, suffering is a part of knowing him. If we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. We get the idea, I got to feel good. Make me feel good, preacher. I'm here to tell you that sometimes I don't need to feel good. I need to feel the burden of the Spirit of the Lord and have a conviction in my spirit that I can suffer with Christ. For Christ's sake, we do some things. And right now, I want you to learn, God expects us to have church no matter what the past has been. You serve Jesus. Come on. You're going to serve Jesus. I'm not serving man. I'm not serving the organization. I'm serving Jesus Christ. He's my true love. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my righteousness. Oh, he's everything. And this is where I feel like God was bringing me to that. And I loved it. I won't tell you the experience, but he brought me to a place where it was some of my situations that I prayed before I went. And I said, "My Lord, I know what's going to happen in some ways, I believe. But I want you to be with me." And one of my good friends, Brother Shoemaker, Elder Shoemaker, he said, "I wouldn't go without somebody going with you." I said, "No, I'm going to go. I'm going to go by myself." I had an experience. I want to tell you, when it was over, I felt good. Now, if you can feel good after you've been criticized and found fault with and falsely accused, and you can still feel good, you've got Jesus. Amen? Young people, what about it? You see, sometimes you don't realize that a test will produce twice as much. In our area, we have grapes, and in the wintertime when they prune those things, you look like they're dead. I've had people go through, are these trees? I said, "No, they're vines. They're grapevines." He said, "Well, are they dead?" "No. They prune them back. Because without pruning, you don't produce quality. You produce a lot of wild limbs and leaves, but you don't produce quality. So they have to prune it back. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus said, "I prune you that I might get fruit." Then after a while, he says, "I do it and get closer that I might get much fruit." What's he saying? We've all got to be pruned back. Now, how does he prune you back? He touches that in you that's not really consecrated. Somebody's going to come up and make you angry. You're going to blame them for it. No, you're required to take care of your own situation. It's how you react that makes the difference. It's not what they did to you, it's how you reacted to what they did. You're going to find out being rejected is not something new because it's all around you. There's people on your job that rejects you. There's the boss that rejects you when you ask for a raise. And you go home feeling like you're defeated. You get fired off of the job and you think, "Oh, he rejected me." But one of the worst rejections that I can think of is a divorce. People that loved each other, and now they're divorcing. The biggest thing that hurts is I'm being rejected. I wasn't good enough. And that rejection produces hate, bitterness, and all kinds of things. So you got to know how to handle that. Amen? Now, it's going to come. Christian or not Christian, it's going to come. Life has all these rejections in it. And if you're going to get down in the dumps over them, you're going to have to learn how to handle it, because there is no doubt in my mind that God doesn't raise hothouse plants. You don't live in a church of 72 degrees, nice pews, nice air conditioner. You live in the wicked old world where the wind blows, the trees fall down, people go. You live in the cyclone, the storms, and all the rest of it. But I'm here to tell you, if you learn how to walk with Jesus Christ, he'll help you to walk on water. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. I praise you, Father. Blessed be your name. When you get hungry and you get thirsty to know Jesus Christ, it's something in you that pushes you, drives you. Starving people have no manners. They'll eat out of the garbage can. They'll snatch it from you and cram it in their mouth. And I want you to know, when you really begin to know Jesus Christ and you want to learn to know more about him, get so hungry and so thirsty, you just cram it in. You lose a lot of your self-consciousness and a lot of your pride out of the way. I've got to have him. I've got to have him. I've got to get him. And I can tell you, friend, that little woman that pressed herself through that crowd, she said, "I've got to touch him. I've got to touch him." Oh, I tell you what, when you get that kind of feeling that drives you into him, you're going to find out that he's waiting for you. Hallelujah. You're going to find that you and him are going to know each other now. Why did the war produce so many men that went back to Normandy here just a few years ago just to be able to get a reunion of those fellows? Because suffering produces buddies. It produces friendships. It produces loyalty. And those men went back and wept and cried when they looked at the beach where it was so beautiful. Now it was bloodstained, corpse everywhere. But suffering brought them together. I'm telling you what, church, when we suffer together, we're going to reign together. When we live through the hard places, we're going to find that Jesus is the mighty God. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your salvation. He's your God. He's the one I'm serving. Amen. Peter said, who shall we go to? We don't have nobody to go to. You can come here from any place, but you can't go here to no place. With that hunger in your heart, it drives you to want to learn of him and to know him. So what happened to me, Philippians 3:10, became my golden text. You got your Bible there? Would you read it good and loud? Philippians 3:10. Paul is writing, and he's at the end of his life when he writes this to the Philippians. He makes a statement that really got a hold of me. Read it good and loud. And that hit me when they said that. That first statement, and I put this on it. Oh, that I might know him. That's what came out of my heart. Oh, that I might know you. Paul has been preaching miracles, big revivals, and he's still saying that I might know him. Oh, friend of mine, we've got the best thing this side of heaven. We've got a God that knows how to help you to learn of him. You've got a God that's better than any place you could go to in this world. Any kind of a gathering of any kind can't beat being in the presence of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord! There's something about Jesus that makes you want to get close. The sinners wanted to get close. They're sinners. You know why? He made them feel they could come. He wasn't so holy that they couldn't be. He couldn't be reached. He said, come on. Come on. Come to me. And I'm telling you, Christian friend of mine, pray God puts that hunger and desire in your heart that makes you want to really know him. Oh, that I might know him. There is three stages of learning and knowing Jesus Christ. Number one, I might know him in what? I wanted to know him in the power of his resurrection. In the book of Acts, you'll find it very prominent. The Bible said, and with great power gave they witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They didn't preach the cross. They preached the resurrection. Because if he didn't come out of the grave, he's just like those two thieves. And with great power, they said, Jesus, come out of the grave. He has arisen. That disturbed Pilate and all the people of Jerusalem. And with great power, they declared it. And when Peter and John was brought before the Sanhedrin, they said, they took note, these men have been with Jesus. I want you to get the thought and understand this. He first must become your Lord before he can become your Savior. Because when those Jews was converted to Jesus Christ, they had to see him as their Lord before they could ever have him for Savior. Am I connecting on that? Amen. I want you to understand, he had to have be convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. James, the half-brother of Jesus, didn't believe on him until after the resurrection. James wrote the book of James. He was the pastor at Jerusalem. And he magnifies Jesus as the one true God. He was a pastor there. If you read the book of James, it's just like the church is today. He's a pastor writing to people that were scattered abroad, went everywhere because of the persecution. And he began to tell them, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Well, he had a message. The biggest message he had in the book of James was people that talked too much, gossiped. Now, I've been teaching at home every morning, every Sunday morning for quite a long time on the book of James. And I just got to chapter 3 about the tongue, and I just got started. And I wanted to be there today to read it where the fire is going to burn it, you know, where you get down to where this thing gets close to your nature. It's amazing how that tongue is the strongest muscle in your body. It's used the most. They say that. When I had my babies, and I enjoyed rocking them. Some folks say you spoil them. That's my business. I rock my kids. I enjoyed giving them a bottle. Friend, that little thing could hold that bottle. I could hardly put it out of its mouth when it's working on that thing. It must have 25-pound suction on that thing. You just try to pull it out. And if you do get it out, you better put it back. But this, I wanted our people to see the early church had the same problems we have here. They talked about each other. They complained. They murmured. And James told them about all those things. And he said, your tongue is set on fire of hell. Hey, you better find out where your anger is coming from. You can't fight fire with fire. And when you get upset and you get angry, go to saying things, just remember, you're going to eat your words. Stone King. I said, I don't even know him. Never heard of him before. Where does he live? He says, in New York. Well, I got the book down. I found his phone number, and I dialed Lee Stone King. He was pastoring a church there in New York. I told him who I was, and he knew Brother Barnes, and I told him that he told me to call you, and I began to tell him how hungry I was to know Jesus Christ. I didn't know it at the time, but he was going through one of the worst trials of his life at that time. The man that he was with wanted to have television, and he couldn't stay with that. He wouldn't go with them. And when he turned and would not go that way, they turned against him, tried to destroy him. And he was so lonely. I found out later that he just was by himself, as it were. He'd weep over it. He was hurt over it, but his conviction about, I cannot go that route. And he was in the middle of that, and I didn't know it. He come out to preach at Anaheim conference. Was it 88 or 87, somewhere along there? And he didn't want to come to Anaheim. He didn't want to go home with me. I'd ask him before he come, I want you to go home and spend a week with me. He told me later, he said, I didn't want to go home with you, and he didn't want to come to that big meeting. You know, you can get so hurt that you crawl in a hole just like Elijah did. You need to get out where people are. You need to realize that the world's not coming to an end yet. Sky's not falling, and you'll live through it, but you're hurt. You need somebody to help you. Well, anyway, he went home with me. He was sitting in my front room, and we connected during that period of time. And so after a while, during that week, I said, you know why you're sitting there? It's not because you wanted to. Because God made you come here. And from that time on, I was able to help him to come through that great crisis. And other things that this man is a special evangelist. I have to tell you, he's been criticized, falsely accused. I've stood up for him over many things that people trying to kill his ministry, but his ministry is bigger than ever before. He's going to foreign fields. He's been in my home enough times. He prays at home and works for God just as much as he does when he's anyplace else. Around the dinner table, we'll have a good old prayer meeting. Sometime we'll have a blessings of God that comes down. I'm trying to get across to you. He's not just a preacher in the pulpit. He prays, he worships, he seeks God. He has something in his soul. And that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody like that. I could call him on the phone anytime, start talking, and he'll get his pen down, go to writing. And I didn't know he's doing this. He said, oh, what you're telling me, I need to have that. He'd write it down. I want you, he has shorthand. He can do it. But anyway, I'm trying to get across to you. You got to find somebody that has something in them that wants more than the ordinary Christian wants. Hallelujah! I want more than just an ordinary kind. I want a Holy Ghost kind. I want a living God kind. It is amazing how inspired we get when we talk to each other. He's busy. He's got more to do. He usually comes and spends Christmas with us. He wants to relax at that time. We get him to preach just the regular services, but that's all. I can't even get him to come to hold a meeting. But we're in touch. That week made a difference with us. We began to bond. I like to talk to people that want to know Jesus Christ. I like to talk to young people who get hungry and say, I like to be able to know how to walk with God. Brother Joel Booker drove me over here. And the whole time I was riding with him, I was pouring it in. And he began to open up to me. He said, I don't want to make the mistakes that others made. I want to get my own convictions. I want to be able to know the Lord. I hear young people, I'm thrilled that you got that something in you. You can call me on the phone or anything and talk about Jesus. I'm ready. I'm here to tell you, this is the best thing ever happened to me. I'm not going to live in a dungeon. I'm not going to live with complaints. I'm not going to live with a lot of people's attitudes. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Let's thank Him for it. Raise your hand and worship Him. He's your God. He's your Redeemer. He's your healer. He's your encourager. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a thrill to me. I inspire Him. He inspires me. Because when you get inspired together, God gives you things you didn't even think about. And I'm just telling you, friend, there's something about knowing Him in these days, in this millennium, that's going to be greater than any time in the past history. We're living in prosperity, and prosperity is the worst enemy to our walk with God. Because you've got to discipline yourself. Under troubles and problems that put you there that you can't do a thing about, you have to deal with it sincerely with you and God, really so, because there's no way out. But you've got to discipline yourself to take time with Him on your own. He likes voluntary worship. He loves voluntary praises. Amen. That's why I say, we'll get into it later, but when you're praying, don't do all the talking. When you're talking, you're not learning. Now, there's a prayer that you must tell Him. God can do nothing in the earth until some human being voices a request from Him. I want to go over it again. God can do nothing only by prayer and supplication. Somebody has got to be able to request it. There are some things we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, and the Spirit makes intercession. You go to speaking in tongues in the Spirit, and you don't know who you're praying for, but God knows. There's a missionary in Africa. China's got some problems, and young converts over there. Taiwan, and you don't know where they are. You don't know how to pray as you ought to pray, but God's got to get somebody to say it. So He anoints you in speaking in tongues, and you pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit cries out and says so-and-so, and even calls them by name. Now, do you connect with that? If you don't, raise your hand. I want you to see, we're going to learn how to know this God we're talking about in such a way that you're going to be thrilled that you and Him have this communication. God can use you. Not every time would you know why. There's been many people that God dealt with to pray for somebody, especially missionaries. Now, I know one of them especially. There was over in one of the countries in Africa, Nigeria. And a person that knew this missionary, in the middle of the night, God woke this person out of their sleep and said, pray for, call the missionary's name. They got on the side of that bed and they prayed until they felt like victory had come. They put the time and the date down. That missionary come home. They got in touch on a certain day at a certain time. God dealt with me about praying for you. Were you in need? He said, I was in the worst case of malaria that I ever had. And if you've had malaria, you ache all over and you are cold in a hot sun. It is a hurting, aching. He said, on that day, God healed him. I began to sweat it out, and I'd been sick for days. And from that day on, I got improved till I got my health back. Look, church, we're not here because we got a little social gathering around here. We're here as a servant of Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to suffer some things. You've got to put up with some things. You can't keep going around complaining and murmuring and finding fault. You've got to be faithful, dedicated. If you're going to quit in the middle of a battle, then your strength is small. You've got to realize we've got to get some hardened soldiers, dedicated soldiers. We've got to have young people that's got something in them. Living for God is the main issue of our day. Serve the Lord with gladness and become an encourager to others. Don't always be looking for somebody to bless you. You come to bless somebody. Well, praise the Lord. It's so thrilling to me when I hear more and more of our preachers preaching in this vein. They are. I never did know it. But God has begun to prepare the church to get ready some people, and young people, you're it, to get you ready to be dedicated to God and learn to know the Lord in such a way that He can reveal Himself through you to somebody else. I believe you're going to find it. Well, from that point on, my reaching for Him was intensified. And I realized, and I looked in the scriptures, there was those people like in Nazareth. He's born and raised there 30 years, but they didn't know Him. The two men on the road to Emmaus, they didn't know Him. Thomas didn't know Him. I don't mean they didn't know something about Him, but they had not had the revelation of a risen Christ. Philip, have I been so long with you and you still don't know who I am? Are we in church so long we know what we do in worship and how we do it, but we don't really get connected into the realm of great fellowship with Him? You see, there's a difference in just being used to doing as far as you go. But after a while, you got to get to a higher level. And it's not a higher level that you can't reach. It's reachable for you. So when I began to see that it's possible that we could be in church and we got all kind of information about Jesus, but not really know Him. I can name people's name that's noted that you could recognize in our country. And they say, do you know so-and-so? Yeah. No, you don't know them. You're just saying, I know who you're talking about, because you don't really know them. So what I'm trying to get across to you, we need to learn that we can know Him better. All right. From that, let me get to your little paper now. I run across this in the Amplified, and this hit my heart just exactly like I feel. I'm going to read it to you. Young people, everybody, I want you to get a copy of these three pages. I want you to agree that you will read it once a day out loud for a month. I want you to get it inside of you. Now, I was going to bring some little cards with it printed in a little card, but I forgot and left it. That's my problem. I always leave something. I wish I'd have decided to leave something beside that, but I didn't. I wanted you to put it in your purse or in your pocket where you can pull it out every so often of the day and go over it. Now listen to it, you that don't have it. Let's go through this. This is an Amplified version of Philippians 3:10. Oh, wait a minute. Let's read the rest of Philippians 3:10. I cut you off there. I'm sorry. Start at the very beginning and read on through it. Now look, that's how he reveals himself. You've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the resurrection life in you. Fellowship of his suffering. You're going to learn that if you live godly, you'll suffer persecution. I'm going to be conformed to the death that he had. What was his death? They crucified his flesh. You've got to crucify yours. Amen? Come on. Say amen loud now. Amen. If he gave himself for me, I got to give myself for him. Amen. That's why you got to deal with your flesh and your nature. You got to crucify it. You say it's so hard. It was hard for him too. The flesh balks at it. Even Jesus said, if it be possible. The flesh was praying. If it's possible. And you're going to find yourself dealing with your flesh. You're going to find it easy to get offended. You're going to get easy upset at your family. You and your husband's going to have a spat. And you think, well, I backslid before I got started knowing him. No, you're learning right now. Don't raise your hand, but how many have had a spat with each other? If you didn't, you're sure bored. We all have differences, don't we? And sometimes we get a little bit loud with it. But let me tell you what. That doesn't mean you can't love each other. I want you to see. You got to recognize God makes you see yourself by giving you what you don't want. My third child was a girl. I had all girls. Boy, I know about women. Before she was born, we thought she was a boy. And we was all wanting a boy. My other two girls and my wife and I wanted a boy. So when Carla was born, I think it was Renee called up and said, what is it? I said, it's a girl. She said, oh, I prayed for a boy. So I guess that's the way it works. When you pray for a boy, you get a girl. You pray for a girl, you get a boy. That's the way she understood it. I want you to know that there's some things you're going to learn that you don't get everything you want. And he'll teach you that you have to realize you've got to live bearing and forbearing. You've got to live with what you've got and make it a happy home. That crucifying the flesh squeals and it's like a stuck hog. It'll squeal to the high heavens. You can kill a sheep, it never makes a sound. So when you hear that squealing, that's a hog inside of you. Yeah, that's the devil nature. You're not devil possessed, you're just nature possessed. There's a difference in that. Judas never had the devil in him until he went out that door. But he had his nature in him. He sold himself, not Jesus, for 30 pieces of silver. So there's going to be that suffering involved in it. Now let's get back to this one. This hit the spot. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. And when I read that, I was so excited that my determined purpose is that I may know him. That I may aggressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. That hit me. That's what I wanted. I wanted to learn more and more. I want to be more acquainted with him. Then I might perceive and recognize and understand what? The wonders of his person. Amen. The wonder of his person. The reason we say wonderful is because he's full of wonder. Don't ever get dull about this thing. Don't lose the wonder of Jesus Christ. And then he said that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts on all over believers, that I may so share what? His sufferings, as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, and in the hope of the resurrection. I'll tell you what, that thrills me every time I read that. I got to go on. The time is getting short. I see some people coming, some going. I don't know where we are. Are we still in the ballpark here? Am I going overtime? It's 11:25. What time do you usually get out? Well, then, are you ready for this? I can go by the clock anytime, because I can stop and quit whenever. But let me just read this through to you, then I'll quit. I took 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, what? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. According as the divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. That's how you know it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. If you take and read the scriptures and obey every word that's written therein, you will learn that it has changing powers in it. Very quickly in Psalms 27:4, one thing I've desired of the Lord, and I want you to get that. You got to get one thing together, not a dozen things, not half a dozen, but one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after. You realize you've got to start reaching for it. That's what I did. I was reaching for it. I was hungry for it. It didn't leave me. It's still with me. I'm here to tell you, when you begin to get that kind of hunger in your soul, it won't leave you when you left the church. Every time I go back into it, I get inspired all over again with greater intensity. So don't get weary if you don't get everything you want the first day you pray. And then he said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. I ask you to have a secret place of prayer where you pray by yourself. Somewhere in your home. Find a place or someplace that you can be familiar with. It's your secret hiding place. I'll get into that later. But I want you to find something like that when you go to pray. And when thou said unto me, seek my face, he said, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. Let me tell you, friend, I discovered what this man had and what made him like he was, and I'll tell you more about it later. But I want you to know, when your heart says, I'll seek your face, you're getting somewhere now. You're reaching out there. He's connecting with you. He's pulling you. He's drawing you. It's no longer a drudgery. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. It's exciting. Then he said, wait on the Lord. Be good of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And each one of those has something to be explained, but I'll just give it to you to read till I get back. Now, please, don't go home and put this in the drawer. A little later on, I've got it at home, I have a little card that I ask for those that want to be committed. And I want to put your picture on it so I can pray for you. I won't go far enough into this that you really mean business. Because I believe God's going to have every number He needs to fulfill His will in this generation. God bless you. I'm sorry that I couldn't be here tonight. I'm trying to take care of my commitments. They made preparations for it. And I couldn't get out of this one. I got out of the one this morning. But I'll be back. And I can cancel people after this down the line. But I want to be here enough that I see some results. Are you going to be with me in it? Let's stand together and ask God to help us. Lord, You teach us the way. We don't know it. You are the way, You're the truth, and You're the life. Blessed be Your name, Jesus. We love You. We worship You. I exalt You. Now, but pray to bless these people to go forth with what we've given them today and give them a good service tonight and next week. Let there be a glory cloud of heaven here. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Moran.